And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. Just realized that it's 308 Day, March 8th, 2026. So happy 308 Day, one of my favorite calibers. A lot of stuff going on. We're going to start off this morning with a song, Hosanna in the Highest. Played that one in a while. That was a good one. I hope you enjoyed the message by Red Beckman. It was Do Your Job, and it was originally recorded in 1993. And like he said at the end of that message, he wished he had 30 more minutes, and I wish he had of two. It was a good one. He was on fire there. And if you missed that, we're going to have that in the upcoming hour. But a fantastic message on, basically it was a message on the foundation of the United States and the powers that the people have, and you know, how we're not going to have changes in America unless people turn back to God. And I think that that's one of the messages that this church has continued to echo throughout the years, and just thankful that these messages are preserved. We've got a message coming up, a new one that we recorded last night with Brother Zach. Its title is Mind Your Business. And You know, as we were talking about last week, basically we've been in a war for about a week now. And I know that here locally, our fuel prices have went up 30% in a week. From last Sunday to today, they went from, just under $3 a gallon to just over $4 a gallon. And got reports that in places like Texas that it's went up over, or right around 50%, from $3 a gallon to $4.50. And I don't think that it's going to stop there. So, we've got to, and, today I got the news that right when we were playing this message that, that Iran is raining down missiles on Israel, and was able to pull up some of the videos and look at that. And, we're in war, and we need to pray for America. And I've been encouraging people to do that. We encouraged people to do that yesterday on the radio. And just want to continue to do that. Have people, pray for America. Pray for the salvation of America. And in the Lord's wrath, remember mercy. Before we have Brother Zach's message, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we thank you, Father, for we thank you that we can assemble together through the internet, through DVD Church, and those of us that join together here in person. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this nation, and we ask, Father, for you to protect this nation, for you to put a hedge of protection around us, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. Lord, we come before you, and we humbly just cry out to you for you to save us, from the hands of our enemies, to save us from those that hate us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you war with those that war against us. You know each and every one of them, and you know how to deal with them real good. Lord, we cry out to you, and we ask, Father, for the salvation of this country. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, March 8, 2026, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us. And I begin by defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of Jesus Christ. He is the Word that became flesh. He is the beginning from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end. To the end of Revelation, where it says, Amen. That is who Jesus Christ is. You cannot be a New Testament only Christian and say that you know our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Israel, the King of Israel, the husband of Israel, and say that you know Jesus Christ. Because if you actually know who Israel is, Israel is a multitude of nations formed because that is what God our Father told our forefather Abraham in Genesis 17. And he also told Abraham in Genesis 15, he gave him a maledictory oath saying, if I do not keep my word by handing this land over to you, your descendants, I do not keep my word and they are removed from it, may happen to this animal, happen to me. And Abraham did not pass through it. And if you know your Bible history, you'll know that the house of Israel and the house of Judah was hauled off into the Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity, and they were removed from that land, making that maledictory oath in effect, where there had to be a death because it was something that God said and God did. But our forefathers, Israel, violated the covenant that came afterwards, and the land could not take it. So they had to be removed, but that oath had to be fulfilled as well. And because of those promises that was given to our forefather Abraham, then the multitude of nations formed into Israel today, which is the Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic, and kindred people, the Anglo-Saxon, those that have the law written on their heart, which we spoke about last week in last week's lesson. We spoke about great patriots of our time, the Mr. Beam, Pastor Peters, Colonel Moore, and others. There are others. Those are the guys that I'm the most familiar with. And what was their main thing that they wanted to say, or their message? Obey God's political system, his law, know who you are, and take the responsibility of being a servant if you're an Israelite, one of those multitude of nation individuals, and serve the Lord. Promote his system. Now, last week when I recorded the message, I did not know things that were taking place. While we were recording, I'm assuming at that time, I don't know exactly the moment in time it took place, but our country partnered up with the state of Israel, as we went in the past and pointed out who that state of Israel is. That land was released by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so is Israel from marital law. This is all biblical knowledge. This is basic stuff. And we've also read in Jeremiah to where Israel was to leave their name to the chosen ones of God as a curse to them. Who are these people? These people are Esau, Edom. They're Israel's older brother. We also know that in the book of Hosea that Israelites will be known as sons of God. Who are we? We are the promoters of the name of Jesus Christ across the globe. Christian. The Jewish people of today are not the promoters of the name of Jesus Christ and his religion. Now, it's all screwed up. We all know that because of the leaven that dirty bird preachers put in the minds of people. But last week when we were recording, our country, the United States of America, partnered up with the Jewish Zionists and bombed the country of Iran. Now, what I see in Facebook and other social media posts is there you have the right and the left. And a lot of the people on the right are cheering on this bombing. Now, me personally, I don't think we have any business bombing that country and taking out their leaders. Now, granted, their leaders and how they deal with their people is not a righteous thing. They kill many of their own. You can say the same thing about Iraq with Saddam Hussein. Not a good fella. But Iraq's business is Iraq's business. Iran's business is Iran's business. And yes, they have a commodity that fuels the world economic system. But what business is it of ours to go in there just because the Jewish Zionists say, hey, we have to take these guys out. Hey, they're a threat. And they put on the news media, you know, they got nuclear weapons. We have nuclear weapons. Anybody with any right sense in their mind knows if they hit the nuke button in this day and age, it's over. Countries are going to be wiped off the map. And Israel, the state of Israel, has been saying for 30, 40 years that Iran's a huge threat. And they're amassing great weapons of destruction. They've been saying it for 30 years, since I was in high school. The same guy, Benjamin Netanyahu, saying we got to get them. They're a threat. They're a threat. So what do? We go in there, we partner up, and we take out their president or leader, which is like taking out the Pope to the Catholic Church in the at the Vatican. Why did we do it? Because we're puppets of the Zionists? Who are we? America, the United States. We're that promised land that God promised our forefather, King David, as a place of abundance, prosperity. And then we partner ourselves with those that hate our Lord and Savior and say they're our ally and condescend to going into Iraq when they never put a single boot on the ground in Iraq. And then they get us to go in there and partner with them in Iran. Now, I guess they threw some missiles at them or whatever, which was probably given to them by us, and hit them. Does anybody really know any history of Iran? You know, I'm not talking the last 30 years. Like, you listen to the John Hagees or whatever, the Zionist preachers, and they always go back to the 70s when the monarchy was thrown over or overthrown by the people, and then the Ayatollah was installed as the government. How did that monarchy get installed in Iran? That monarchy was installed in Iran in 1953 by our CIA and the British counterparts. Because before that, they had what our government always talks about, a democracy. They're a very free country. And they had oil. And they wanted to nationalize their oil. But they didn't have a central banking system. Oh, no, you can't have that. So we went in there and we caused all this disruption back in the early 50s. And caused their all this political chaos. And then we go over there and we hit them. We hit them. Because they're a threat. Me, personally, I don't believe we had any business doing that. That's a big no-no on this administration's track record. Especially when our president sat there and promised us no wars. No wars. You know, and now the MAGA group is, you know, they're backing them. No wars. Why can't anybody just sit there and make deals and be concerned with the other person and want them to live in peace? Now, I get it. They're Muslims, and they're just a rough group anyway. But that's their culture. If they want that culture, let them have it. I don't want that culture. I want a Christian culture. I want this country to be the light in the world that shows if you obey the great I am, the God of the Bible, and don't have the Babylonian infiltration, excuse me, and show how prosperous our God will prosper those that humble themselves and give the creator of this world credit for their prosperity, for their safety, for the security of the future of the generations to come. Because that's really what it's all about. Just be good. If you have dealings with other people, make sure it's a good deal. Now, if they're wicked, don't deal with them. Don't prosper them. But I don't actually believe that gives us the right to go over there and thump them. Now, you say, well, you know, a few weeks ago, you're talking about ICE. That's all inside our borders, and those people are here illegally. There's a huge drug trade, child sex business, stuff that I don't even want. I don't want it in our land. We need to be dealing with that and dealing with our own problems before we decide to police up the world and go over and do like what we did over in Iraq, which is just a mess now, and then walk away. I mean, what's the long-term plan? What's the long-term plan with this Operation Epic Fury or whatever it's called? What's the end game? Is there one? Are we just going to take? Are we just going to, you know, kill a bunch of people by bombing and not put any boots on the ground and then sit there and have everybody else, every other nation in the wonder why they're so bent out of shape at us? No, I understand there are those that hate the Lord, and there are those that are blessed by God's people doing evil. Does anybody think about the blessings that's going to be put on the Zionists by this country involving themselves in this mess? Why are we there? Why are we doing this? I've seen one lady put on a Facebook, you know, they had six caskets with American flags draped over them and, you know, honor their sacrifice. Really? Sacrifice for what? Sacrifice for who? Is the glory going to our God? Is this a sinful move that we're doing? Me personally, I think it's a joke. I think we need to worry about what's going on at home. And kind of like what Ron Paul used to say when he was running for president. Well, I'm not really going to do anything. I'm just going to stay at home and run the country within our borders. Everybody laughed at him. We can't do that. He got his butt handed to him in the primary. What was that? 2000 or whenever he was running, 20, 25 years ago. I was talking with a brother earlier in the week and we were talking about this, and I was like, well, what do you think about it? You know? And one of the things he said, you know, he's like, Zach, you and I are a lot alike. We just want to mind our own business, raise our families, and be prosperous and be good and be righteous and be just and have a good reputation. If you have a bad reputation as an individual, you will not do well in life. You will not be a normal citizen and do well in life. Nobody will trust you. The same goes for a country. People make moves with countries because they're scared. People, are they going to? I don't want our country to be a wicked country. I want our country to be a fair country, to be a just country, where the wicked are punished for evil deeds. Did we just do an evil deed as a nation? Are we out of line? Are we asking for judgment from our God because of doing this? I don't want to sit there and be buddy-buddy with any Arab. I also don't want to mistreat them. I don't. I just want to be good. And if anybody comes in here and starts messing up my culture, I want that dealt with. This country has enough resources in its own borders to be very prosperous. Do people understand that by us doing that, and from what I hear, the Strait coming out of the Persian Gulf are kind of blocked off. There's no traffic going through there. You know, like Indonesia, Vietnam, China, they get most of their oil from Iran. You cut that oil supply off, what's going to happen? Prices of everything's going to go up because our nation, all the companies in our land does business and all their manufacturing over there. And our prices are going to go up because they don't have any fuel to fuel their nation. Because we're in a world economic system. I think we only get 20% of our oil from there. China gets like 70 or 80. I forget what it is, but I know it's more than half. What's that going to do to the everyday citizen in the United States? What's it going to do? Is this going to throw us in an awful depression? Is this going to irritate Russia and China so much that they start launching stuff at us? Because we're over there screwing with the lifeblood? I don't know. I just want to be good and respectable. Me personally, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. People that I deal with never, ever question on what I say I'm going to do. I'm not going to only do half a job and then back out. I'm not going to come up with any excuses. If I take the risk to do the job, I am going to take it, even if it was bad for me. I'm going to finish the game because I don't want anybody to be able to say, he's not a man of his word. Can the United States say that? Let's just go back into history, like with the Vietnam War. Like pre-Vietnam, like when the French were colonized it, and then World War II. Oh, Ho Chi Minh. Ho Chi Minh was a great ally for the United States during World War II. What did we do? We pulled the rug out from underneath him. Now, he was a commie, don't get me wrong. I get it. But he trusted our word back in the 40s and 50s. Then look what happened. We ended up fighting them, getting into a big fight. We got the North and South Vietnamese. We abandoned all those people that allied with us in South Vietnam. Didn't keep our word. Why would anybody trust the United States? Why would they? Stab them in the back. And you say that about Afghanistan. All you guys remember what happened in Afghanistan when we pulled out and abandoned all those people that helped our military over there? Because we were going to install a great government where everybody could be free. Now look at it. It's a mess. I suspect the same thing's going to happen with Iran. Terrible. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 21. Sometimes when you just don't know what to think or say, you just got to read a proverb just to kind of put everything into perspective. I begin by reading Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the heart. Every man's ways is right in his own eyes. But what does the Lord do? He weighs the heart. Where is this man's heart? Where is this king's heart? Where is this country's heart? What is God saying here? What is this proverb saying in verse 1 of chapter 21 of Proverbs? God wants to know where the heart of the individual is and where the heart of the nation is. Does this nation fear me? Does this nation crave justice and righteousness? Do they fear me? Where is their heart? If they have no fear for the Lord, then I'll bet, like Pastor Peters used to say, my boots and spurs, that their heart is in the wrong spot. Verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. We as individuals and as a nation and communities and families, our hearts need to long for righteousness. It is more respected by the Lord than sacrifices. What is he saying here? If you want to do righteousness, and if your heart longs for righteousness and justice, it is more respectable than saying, I'm sorry. Because chances are you knew what you were doing. There's just something in your soul, something in your gut that said, this ain't right. And better to say sorry afterwards. That's the mentality people have. Instead of cheering this kind of stuff on. People that don't know biblical history is what gets them in trouble when you talk about the Christian religion. People that don't know who Israel truly is, and they sit there and they say, you know, well, Israel now was formed. Like, they don't know what God said. They don't respect the word. They don't have righteousness on their mind. You say, why did you just bring up the biblical history? Because like what I brought up earlier was people don't have any concept of history and the relations between this country and Iran 70, 80 years ago. And what kind of government they had back then in the 40s and 50s. And before that, and how it got all screwed up. They'll talk about back in the 70s. They'll talk about back in the early 80s when they had the, when Iran took a bunch of American hostages. And then when Reagan come in, said, I'm coming to get them. They'll talk about all that, but they'll forget about 30 years prior to that, what happened. Oh, no, we can't say that. We can't talk about that. The same way with the Christian religion. We can't talk about the maledictory oath in Genesis 17 because it doesn't fit the narrative. It is my duty. It is people's on this ministry's duty. It is our community's duty to know the history, not of our country and world history. Do we do things for the glory of God? Do we do the glory of Jesus Christ to be the righteous group of people and servants of the Lord, to be the example for the world? Or are we too concerned about living comfortably? Are we too concerned about our 401ks and our Roth? And not worry about all these other people and then just bomb them because they got oil. Just bomb them because the Zionists say we need to bomb them. Meanwhile, 95% of the population has zero idea of any history that took place to where people would take the position to not like us. I mean, why would they like us? We are so infiltrated by the Zionists, it's not even funny. We are, nothing new is under the sun. Like it says in Isaiah about our forefathers when they were in Egypt. And the Lord took us out to bring us to the promised land. What does it say? It says, where the Assyrian afflicted them. Well, they were in Egypt. What did they have? They had a Babylonian, Assyrian, foreign government infiltrate Egypt. Two nations within a nation operating. Common law and admiralty jurisdiction. That's what was going on. That's what's going on in our country. And we say it's one. How can we do righteous when we got that kind of garbage going on at the federal level? And we get in bed with these Zionists. How can we do right? How can we be pleasing to our God? And how can we be that light on the mountain that shows if you obey God and you fear him, this is the result. But yet we go our own way. We do what we think's right. When God's saying there, if you just obey me, you ain't got to do this kind of stuff. If you just keep your eyes on me and do and obey my commands, you will be protected. You will prosper. Your children and your grandchildren will have a secure future. Teach them my ways. It's very simple. I've been going on a rant. I'm going to skip over to verse 15. When we are righteous as individuals, as families, as ministries, people don't realize how much power a ministry has. Because what a ministry does, let's just take a Baptist church or a Holy Roller church in their doctrine, for an example. What are they teaching? They are teaching people, well, they're giving people the idea of what is right and wrong with God. They are teaching people what they believe God thinks is true. What is right and wrong. Now, if those ministries actually taught the people correctly, the Israel truth, that the law is still in effect, that the new covenant released Israel from marital law because they had the writ of divorce. And that we're supposed to uphold his rules and regulations. We're supposed to take that yoke that Jesus said, which is light. What's the yoke? It's his form of government. If they actually taught the people that, then our government that God has placed over us to be ministers of the Lord would not have the power to do these types of things. Our ministers in this land, these dirty bird Judeo-Christian Baal priests, are literally, well, they're the spiritual leaders, are the dogs that don't bark, are the ones that mold people's minds to get on board with this kind of stuff and say it's right and say it's righteous. I was talking with one guy. He would be called, what's a Bible thumper, earlier in this week. And I said, what do you think about this deal in Iran? He's like, well, you know, I know about biblical prophecy, this and that. I just like, he thought he had it all figured out. He thinks that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, loves the Jews who are Esau, Edom. And he has no concept that they're on the wrong side. And they work for Satan in his Babylonian system. He has no idea of biblical history and the mechanics of how this works. But yet he thinks he's right. And he thinks because everybody else around him believes the same thing, because that's what his pastor says, then it's the way it's supposed to be. You know, things are going to get really bad because of all the evil. Yeah. You know, your church is promoting it because they've abandoned the law of God. Your church is promoting it because they don't know who Israel actually is. They've disregarded the prophet, they've disregarded his law, and they've disregarded the three promises that God gave to our forefather Abraham. And everything else is just conjured up, and it's like it said back in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. They have no direction, no biblical direction. Go to verse 15. The exercise of justice is joy to the righteousness. Is joy to the righteous. The work of justice is joy to the righteous, in other words. Wait, we mind our own business and work hard and provide for our families? No. We don't want to do that. We want the easy money. We want to take it from people. I continue in reading in verse 15. But is terror to the workers of iniquity. If you and I are righteous, it terrifies the wicked. It terrifies the workers of iniquity. Now just think, if these ministries across the land actually preached righteousness, what would it do? It would terrify the workers of iniquity. And we wouldn't work with these people to go and invade another country. Because you know better. verse 16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. But what does this all lead to? What is all this lack of history knowledge, lack of biblical knowledge? What does it lead to? It's a lack of understanding, and it leads to the way of the assembly of the dead. I just want to mind my business. I hope you want to mind your business. I really wish our country would just mind its business and take care of the problems within our borders. Now, I might ruffle some feathers a little bit on that, but fire me then. So that's the title of this lesson. Mind your business. That's all I want to do. That's all I do is just mind my business and who it affects around me. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I ain't got time to worry about everybody else's problems. If everybody worried about their own problems and solved them, then this world would be a way better place. If everybody upheld the Bible and studied it and actually applied the principles to their lives, then the workers of iniquity would be terrified. Why don't we do that? Terrify them by being righteous. Terrify them by having enough backbone saying, no, we're not doing that. We're doing what's right and what honors our God. And with that, I'm out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of Israel, that multitude of nations, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that message. As we prepare our hearts and our minds for communion, we're going to have a song, and this one is Lily of the Valley.
I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort. In trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's all my sins taken and all my sorrows born. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken. Keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsakes me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the shore. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Now to fear, with his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. I like that song. You know, as I was preparing for communion today, I got a text message from Brother Keith out in Nebraska, and he joins us through the internet. But he brought up scripture and encouraged people. We're not going to go there today, but I really think that 1 Kings 22, it's just talking about the king and Micah's prophecy. And it really fit, and thanks, Keith, for pointing that out, because I really think that it does fit for what we're seeing. And this morning when I got up, I was praying and looking for a scripture, trying to, you know, have something that would be appropriate for communion. And when I came across the prayer in Daniel 9, starting in verse 4, I read it, and I really believe that this is just a good prayer that we can pray, communion. It talks about covenants, and I want us just to, I'm going to read this, and I just want you to pray along with me. It is a prayer of Daniel, and I'm going to start in verse 4 of chapter 9. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquities, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turned aside from your commandments and your ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, and all the countries to which driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed amongst you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written, law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words, which he had spoken against us, against our rulers, who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done like that was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all the calamity will come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore the Lord has spoken, the calamity in store it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done. But we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made and for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayers of your servants and to his supplications. For your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of your own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you and partake of communion, we remember the price that was paid to give us access to your throne. Oh, Lord, we do desire this. We desire for people to turn from their wicked when you put you first and foremost in their lives. Lord, we repent of our sins, known and unknown. We repent of our sins as a nation, and we just cry out to you for you to save us once again. Lord, hear this prayer of Daniel, and Lord, we just ask, Father, that you apply it to us. We know that we are the people, and this is your land. This is that Jerusalem that you spoke about. Those were our forefathers that you brought out of the desert. Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you've continued to protect and deliver your people. And Lord, we do you do that once again, that you deliver us from the hands of the dog and hands of the enemy. Lord, we pray, Father, that we can have a nation of God-fearing Christians once again. Oh Lord, as we partake of communion, we don't just apply the blood to our lives, but we apply it to our nation as well. We thank Jesus Christ's holy name. We pray, amen. You may partake. And we're going to have a message by, we're going to have a song real quick, and then we're going to have a message by Red Beckman called "To Do Your Job." And this was originally recorded in 1993.
There's a spirit in our land, raising up the kind of man, burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to people who love their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth.